Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. This is Champs Shrink Champs coming at you live.
I feel like we have not recorded together for so long.
It really does feel that way. Has it been a long time?
No, not really, but like for some reason it feels so long.
When I recorded by myself last week, I realized that we're almost about to go on break. And I was like, I said something.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, oh my God, I need to talk to Taylor about this. Sorry, guys. Heads up. We have a break coming.
I totally forgot about that. We do.
Time is flying. Like I feel like we just took our break where we were like, guys, we need a break. And I don't know how we're here. We have like a month left.
Wow. That's really crazy.
I know. I was like, well, all the things we wanted to accomplish again did not happen. But you get weekly episodes, so you should be happy, you guys.
It's all that matters.
And I'm so excited. I already talked about it on Instagram, but you guys came through for us and got our ratings up.
Like, yes.
That's all because of our listeners. And I think that's amazing. And I basically would give you all a hug, and I'm not a hugger. So. That's
how important that was. I totally agree. That was so freaking exciting when I saw that. So thanks, guys.
I'm still shocked, honestly. I mean, and it's only a 3.4. We're shooting for 5, but like that's a huge.
No, it's a 3.6.
Oh, I thought it was 3.5.
Let me double check. No, it's a 3.6. Let me double check before. Don't quote me on this.
Anyways, I know we kind of bully you guys, but like. Thank you. I really, really do appreciate it.
Hold on. Gosh, sorry. The stupid drink champs always overtakes ours, and I hate that.
Losers.
Oh, it is a 3.4. But that's all right. 3.4 is still good.
Yeah, we got room for improvement. We're 3 years in now, season 3. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was very, very pleased and very happy that you guys did that for us. So please continue to do things like that and share us with your motherfucking friends.
Yes. Yes. I totally agree.
In other news, I don't know when I actually saw you last, but it feels like it's been a minute.
It has been. It feels like.
It was Easter.
Yeah.
It's been 11 days.
And was I even really there on Easter to be determined?
Who knows? Easter was a good time, though. But yeah, it's been a minute. I think I'll see you this weekend, potentially.
Potentially, yeah.
What have you been up to?
You know, not much, to be completely honest. Last weekend, Tony and I were so lazy. The eclipse really messed with me. Like, I don't know if you felt like this, but this eclipse, like the energy, I was so tired. I took a 4.5 hour nap on Saturday. Literally don't nap at all. And I slept forever. And Tony and I were so lazy. We had so much stuff we wanted to accomplish and we accomplished some of it, but we were just like, we don't really want to. We want to just like sit here, whatever. So really not much. I just started a new class at school and that's about it.
I think that the eclipse messed with me a bit. And I don't know if what was before the eclipse that just happened. There was something else happening like a week before that. Like a
Mercury went back into retrograde.
No, there was something else. Like was there a lunar eclipse and then a solar eclipse?
Yeah, so the lunar eclipse was last month, like around the full moon.
Okay, so I think that's the one that messed with me the most. Like, I had posted that Chris Corsini, he'd like said, is this messing with anyone else? And I was like, oh my God, everything he explained was exactly what was like how I was feeling. Mm-hmm. And then I had like a friend that I went to high school with, and she messaged me and she's like, oh my gosh, is this what's going on with me? Like, she couldn't sleep, I couldn't sleep. Like, it was like everything was so, so weird. This mm-hmm. one, the solar eclipse, like, I almost feel like it gave me what I needed to like get my shit back together. Like, it was like really great for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's been like great for me, but the energy was just so freaking much. Like, I was just exhausted.
Did you see the solar eclipse?
No, so I was going to go out and watch it, but This week at work, I do not know what is going on, but it was so busy. And on Monday, so the day that the actual eclipse happened, I worked at the ketamine clinic. Literally every single patient had like the worst treatment ever. And so I was in room after room after room, like having to sit through the whole treatments to like help patients through it. So I missed it because I was in a room with the patient. So
yeah, I didn't see it like when it was in its prime here in Utah, but I went and looked at it right before, like as it was starting. I went and got my first laser appointment at lunchtime and I had to leave the house and I was like, well, I have glasses. I may as well look. And it looked so cute. It made the sun look like a fat little moon. Like it was just like so round and like a little tiny cutout. So I didn't see like when it was like in its prime, but Henley got to see it at school and she said it was so crazy because like you could look to the other side of like the whole field where they were at in like the school recess area. And like, it was dark over there.
Really?
Like, because the sun wasn't shining over there. So it almost looked like it was just like shaded and darker over there, but there it wasn't actual shade from the building. It was like shade because of the eclipse. And she was like, it was so weird. And I was like, yeah, that is weird. But yeah, I feel like that was an interesting thing. And people like kept posting like a portal's opening. And I was like, okay, witches, like calm down. That's stressing me out. I don't like to hear that. I don't know what even that like opens up for me, but I always just think about when we had a ghost at my house and that like portal that was open from us having a tarot reading. So I was like, I don't want any portals at my house.
I know. I was honestly like getting a little nervous because everything, I had to like take a break from TikTok because everything was like, it's going to be the end of the world, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I freaking cannot hear this stuff. And yeah, I'm glad that the world didn't end.
I actually saw a TikTok or two talking about like the Bible says this and the Bible says that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, God, I really don't remember reading the Bible much. I think it's because I was LDS and like you didn't really read the Bible. We read the Book of Mormon. So I never officially read the Bible, but people were like posting all this shit. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I don't want to hear about these things. So I just kept like scrolling. I was like, I don't like that.
Yeah. I have like severe religious trauma with, the second coming. And so with everyone saying like the world's going to end, blah, 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 it made me think of the second coming. And I was like, I can't, like, that's too much for me.
That makes me think of, so I was going to give you guys a little update about my last witch session. At it, she gave me, it's called like an AO scan. I don't really know what exactly that means, but it was really strange. You should Google it because I don't want to go into it. But part of it, she does like a scan on your emotions. And one of my emotions, like, so she has like a list of like the normal emotions that people have, but like sometimes they're different. And mine on one of them, it was like fear of this, fear of that, fear of death, fear of aging, like all these different things. And she just wrote fear. And so when we were talking about it, she was like, we went through all of them. She's like, and you just have straight up fear. Like, you don't have fear over anything specific. You don't have fear over spiders or like anything that came through. She's like, you just have underlying fear. And I was thinking about you and I was like, oh my God, like Taylor's would be like all these different specific fears.
Oh, it like, was. Fear was a very big thing in mine. Yeah. That fear, religious trauma. And what was my other big one? I'll have to look up what my other big one was, but yeah, fear of death was like my number one thing.
I was dying. I was like, yeah, I was like, I mean, I guess in all, like I have like a general sense of fear because like anything could happen. I was like, but I don't know. It's just regular things. And she's like, yeah, I think that's why it came through is just fear. I thought it was so funny. I was like, how funny that like that's like what came up. But man, that energy or emotion reading, I mean, was so silly for me. I thought it was really funny. And then also I had a mark next to like that I'm worried about aging or something. And she read that and she's like, yeah, and you have like a worry about aging or you're scared of aging. And I was like, really? I thought I'd work through all of that because I really thought I had. I didn't feel like I was scared of aging. But I guess like in general, yeah, there's always in the back of my mind, like, I don't want to be old. But yeah. I was like, how strange. But yeah, also, apparently I have a bunch of parasites. I have to do like some pinworm medicine. My whole family does. And she was like telling me I needed to do it. And if I have it, like my whole family has it, blah, blah, blah. So then I Googled pinworms because I was like, what is this pinworm medicine? Like, do I have like a pinworm parasite? And it's like saying that you have an itchy asshole. I don't have an itchy asshole. Like, I don't have all these things. Like, I don't know why she wants me to take pinworm if I don't feel like I actually have pinworm. Like, and then I was thinking, I was like, is Wally always scratching his ass? Like, what is going on? Like, I don't think we have pinworms. So now I'm questioning why she's making me take pinworm if my... I don't have an itchy butthole. I don't get it. I'm really uncomfortable about it. I haven't taken it yet. I
think it just killed like a lot of the parasites.
I mean, that's what I'm hoping. But when I Googled it, I was like, what the fuck, bitch? Do I have itchy butthole? Like,
is that the only symptom?
Well, it's what it seemed like when I was reading about it. It was like pinworms are very specific to your fucking asshole. I'm so like irritated about it. Let me Google it right now.
Oh my gosh, stop.
The witch has been interesting. I didn't get to like work a lot on my Bell's palsy stuff, but I don't think that it will happen every time. And she, oh my God, this is another thing I'm really irritated about. She did like the scan tells you like things like foods that you're sensitive to. And goat cheese came up. And so she runs a scan and like all these things come up saying like, you have a sensitivity to these foods. And then she does like another scan that's supposed to like fix it or see how willing your body is to like correct it. And goat cheese is on my list. And she was like, well, just don't eat a lot of goat cheese. Cause I was like, don't tell me cheese. Cause I saw goat cheese first. And she was like, no, other cheeses are fine. It's just goat cheese and goat milk and raw milk. And I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, I love goat cheese. And she's like, well, maybe you should stop eating it. And I was like, listen, ma'am, you might be an expert.
With mine, peaches came up and I love peaches. And I was like, there's no way. And then she did like the scan thing and it fixed itself. And I was like, whew, thank God, because I was not going to not eat a peach.
I mean, it made sense because when she was like thinking about it, because I remember the first time out, she's like, do you have a lot of like stomach issues? And I was like, not really. Like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. But then I was like thinking about it. Sometimes if I eat too much goat cheese, I immediately feel like I need to like go to the bathroom.
Really?
And then also, God, this is another frustrating thing. Another thing that I have a sensitivity to that didn't get corrected was spinach and lemon. And I eat spinach and lemon salad every fucking day.
Oh no.
But it made sense because I ate it today and I immediately was like, I feel like I could shit my brains out at any point. Like I had the worst upset stomach and really? I had noticed that before. And I always just blamed it on like how spicy, like the spice mixed with the lemon, you know, cause it has crushed red pepper and like lemon and spice, like it would make sense. But now I was like, oh my God, it's the lemon and the spinach.
Dang, that is really sad.
Yeah, but like I'm not gonna stop. Sorry, witch. I can't.
My last witch session was also very interesting. I'm pretty sure she opened up my third eye. I really need to ask her like what happened with it because I was like so weird and tired after my appointment, but weird stuff has been happening since my appointment.
Her and I actually talked about you a little bit and like, I told her how you came over and you were like, dude, I don't know what the fuck just happened. Like I was in the deepest meditation and like you had said like, she asked if I had questions and I was like, no, I don't have questions. And then you're like, should I have questions? And we were like talking about those things.
And what did she say?
I mean, she obviously like didn't really go into much detail, but she was just like, she was just giving me that look of like, I told her to write down her questions and I was like, well, I'm pretty sure she has some stuff to talk to you about because she's been selling me some stuff. And I was like, the things she told me like reminded me of when she did ketamine for like one of the first times. And I was like, so I'm just really curious to know like what she like says to you when she comes back. And she was like, yeah. And then we were just like talking about our friendship a little bit. And I was like saying something. I was like, yeah, I think that's sometimes why Taylor... Oh, we were talking about the doctor situation. And I was like, I had been telling her forever, like, dude, you need to change doctors. Like, I get that you have like trauma, but like this bitch doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. And I was like, but she has to do it on her own time. Like, I get it. But I kept being like, yeah, maybe you should find another doctor, bro. Like, what's going on? And I was like, so I'm just really happy that she's meeting with you. And I was like, I don't know if you can tell by now, but I'm clearly the really bold, like aggressive friend. And she's the very like meek and mild, like super kind and sweet friend. And I was like, I think that's why we work out so well. And she's like, well, what if she keeps coming to me and that goes away? And I was like, that would be fucking fantastic.
I don't want that to go away.
And she was like, if she keeps coming to me, the things that she needs to start dealing with and to be herself, they're going to come out. She's like, she won't be meek and mild anymore. And I was like, fuck yeah. I was like, she needs that. I was like, she gets walked over terrifying. All the time.
Gotta go cancel my appointment real fast.
What the heck? She was like, her inner lion is just sitting there all the time, like,
bitch, I'm bored, probably.
Yeah, it's literally like, are you actually a Leo or do you only care about your birthday? But I was like, interesting. I was like, that'll be exciting.
Crazy. Yeah, it's been really weird. Ever since I saw her, I did go to Shelby's house after we spent the night over there. I was like so out of it. Like, I legitimately felt like I got a ketamine treatment. Like, that is what I felt like. And ever since then, I've been seeing, only when I teach yoga though, I've been seeing like colors around people. I don't know if that's auras or what that is, but I definitely see colors and I see like darkness around certain people. Oh, which is kind of creepy. But
that's creepy. I did she was talking about, she has all those colored pens on her desk. Mm-hmm. And we were doing these scans and just like small talking about random things, and I was like, I really like these pens, I used to use them. And she was like, oh really? She's like, yeah, I love these pens. Like, she used to work for the IRS apparently. Like, we got into so many conversations. And so she was talking about how she can usually tell like how people are feeling by the color of pen they choose. And I was like, interesting. And I was like, well, I picked pink. I was like, so what does that tell you about me? And she's like, pink is like that you're in your like healing, self-love, peace era. And I was like,
oh,
yeah,
my God, I picked pink last time too. I'm obsessed with pink right now.
And I was like, pink is definitely like my color. And I was like, but also, I was like, here's something I'm going to throw a wrench in your philosophy with. And she was like, what? And I was like, what if someone doesn't pick it based off of that? They're thinking about the color that it writes in and if it's going to show up. Because that is what normally goes through my mind, is I don't want to be irritated that it's not showing up very much. And she was like, mm-hmm. that is a factor. And she was like, usually someone will just naturally grab the color that they want though. She's like, maybe your brain just works really fast. And I was like, well, I'm pretty OCD about colors and pens. And then I told her about the Sharpie pens and she was like, oh, I don't want to give up on my pens. And I was like, they're really good pens. You might want to try them.
You are obsessed with Sharpie pens.
She also said that there was some people that like only want to write with a black pen. Like, they'd be so irritated because they just wanted the black pen. And so she's like, I started to get annoyed, so I hit all the black pens, and they would come in and straight up be like, do you not have a black pen? I was like, damn, that's like pretty bold.
So oh my gosh. Really
interesting.
Interesting.
I know. Huh. So yeah, I don't know what the fuck is up with me. I feel like seeing a witch has been not my normal MO. I feel like very unusual of me to just be like, sure. But I did tell her, I was like, honestly, for me, it's not that I'm scared of these things. It's like, I just don't know who to go to or who to trust. That's why I don't go to the doctor and stuff. And I was like, so once Taylor came, it was like, I'm not scared to see you. I just want to go to somebody that's not a psychopath.
It's but true. There are a lot of character in the spiritual world for sure. I also think it's very out of character for you, but I'm happy that you're going because I really do think she's helping. Your lips look completely different to me.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what happens. But speaking of being out of character, I feel like I'm doing a lot of things out of character. Like, I don't know who I am as a 34-year-old. Almost, oh God. You haven't listened to the podcast yet that I recorded, but I aged myself like 6 times. I kept saying I was 34 in my 34 years of life. Oh, I'm 34. And then finally I was like, bitch, you're not 34.
I have been doing that too. And I don't know why. I'll be like, yeah, I'm 34. And then I'm like, no, I'm actually 33, almost 34.
Yeah, I like literally think I'm 34 already. So that's stupid of me. But yeah, I feel like I'm just doing... I think that me not having school and all these things, like having a job that doesn't keep me so busy that I want to die, has really changed a lot about me. And it's like, part of me, I think, was really struggling. Obviously, I think I'm in a better place now with everything. Not that I'm happy with it, but it's also like, you know, my word of the year is embrace. And I've literally lived like the last 12 years busting my ass, going crazy all the time, like never having time and being burnt out and being sick all the time. And now I'm just kind of like, I can literally do whatever I want. And I think it's weird and I'm uncomfortable about it. Like, I basically just sign up and do whatever the hell I feel like. But it's also, I was listening to a podcast today and it was making me think about something like this, where it's like, I am allowing myself to do more of like the things I enjoy. Like, I don't even know why I'm saying this now because I feel uncomfortable about it, but I like signed up to be a travel agent so that I could book travel, like dumb shit like that. Or I got a Cricut so I could craft things, you know, like that's so weird of me to just be like, I like this and it's going to benefit my life and make it easier. So I'm just going to do it. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's very, I'm out of character this year.
I like it. I think it's great. Your travel agent abilities help me a lot. So I appreciate it.
I mean, we haven't booked anything now that I'm official yet, but yeah, if anyone wants to book a hotel, let me know, because I might be able to get you a deal. But I don't know. I always think like it literally came down to the fact that we were going to Australia and I was like, I don't want to go back and forth with this person and be like, what about here? Or have them create it for me. I wanted to be like, we're actually in control of it and know the pricing we're getting. And there's no, like, I don't know. I just, if it's really easy if you're just like, I want to go to Mexico. These are the dates. These are the people. But then I was also like, but also what options do they have that they're just not showing us? So
exactly.
I don't know. It's like, I don't know what the fuck is happening to me, but I have all this time. So I'm just doing random shit.
I love it. I wish I had all that extra time.
Yeah, I feel like I have all this time and I have no one to hang out with. So that's really annoying too.
I mean, come up to my house anytime.
That is one of the other things that sucks too, though, is like Henley has cheer. And I feel like it like puts a damper on so many things, you know, like it makes it so like I have time, but it's like, it's very interesting time. But then also on top of that, fucking kids sports are so expensive these days. Like, I really can't get over the fact that like, if she gets on the elite cheer team next year, I'm paying so much fucking money for her to do it. And also my schedule will be insane because of it. And so I just need to accept the fact that my life is really easy breezy right now. But I do wish that you lived here and I could hang out with you, because I have a lot of fucking time.
I know. I wish I had that much time. I need to find ways to make more time. But I was just looking at myself in the camera. I know, I do. I just got Botox yesterday and it's kicking in and that makes me really happy. Speaking of age, I had to get Botox around my eyes in a few spots. I only got like, I think four or six units around my eyes because I'm starting to get crow's feet and I'm unwell.
Have you not done that before?
No, I've only done my forehead and like my 11s. But yesterday she did. I noticed last week when I was doing my makeup and I was like, oh my gosh, I have a really big wrinkle right here. And I was like losing it. And Tony's like, you're fine. And I was like, no, I'm not. And so then I had my injector look at it and she's like, yeah, you could use a few units. And I was like, put as many as I need right there. I don't want this to be a thing.
I think ever since I was getting Botox, I was getting it in my eyes, but I don't think it was because I needed it. It's because my Bell's palsy. But also I told them, I was like, cause Crystal has really bad crow's feet. And I was like, I never want those. Like, so I think we weren't doing a lot, but I've always had them. I don't enjoy it. It hurts.
Oh my gosh. I started seeing, so the PA I work for, his wife does Botox and I went and saw her. She was so amazing. I barely even felt, and you know how big of a baby I am with Botox. I literally barely even felt it at all. And I was like, wow, you're really good. Cause I could not feel that.
Speaking of that, you would die over laser hair removal.
Yeah, I would.
It's like you would feel so silly about it, because even I, who like I have a pretty high pain tolerance, was like, what the fuck is happening to me? Like, it is the weirdest sting and it's so weird and it's so quick that you start to be like, ah, and then by the time you're done saying ah, you feel nothing. And but like that moment of ah, you're like, what the fuck did you just do to me? Like, it is so weird. And the whole time I kept thinking, because I was like, how is it compared to filler? Like, it can't be worse than filler. Filler sucks ass.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, it's like someone slapping a rubber band on you. Like, it's not like that. But that slapping feeling,
it hurts.
I don't, I don't know, man. It was so weird, but I kept thinking, I was like, Taylor would be like, ah.
I would be. I'm such a baby. I was actually going to do my lips yesterday, but I was like, you know what? Because I've only met her like twice at like Christmas parties through work. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to let her like get to know me a little bit more. So then when I like make the weird sounds that I make when I'm getting my lips filled, she's not like, what the fuck is wrong with this girl?
Bro. I have a question. Is there any like new stuff with the P. Diddy stuff?
Honestly, I haven't seen a whole ton. I did see that Ashton Kutcher is getting subpoenaed to testify because he's been to a lot of his parties, apparently. So then I was reading the comments on the TikTok that I saw, and people were like coming up with theories of like, what if he started this whole sex trafficking organization to help protect his friends? And I was like, oh my God, what if he did?
I can't believe he did.
Write the character witness for Danny Masterson. And there is the whole thing of like Topher Grace during That 70s Show. He wanted nothing to do with any of his coworkers. I don't know.
I listened to Not Skinny But Not Fat's interview she did with Drake. What's his name? Josh Bell?
Drake Bell.
You should listen to that. I didn't know
he was on it.
Yeah, the interview was like heavy, but in a good way. I learned so much about him. I still haven't watched the fucking documentary. But she asked, like, so you know how like the whole Ashton thing went down and people like, he had to like disappear because he wrote those letters. And she was like, and I know a bunch of people, like 150 people wrote letters for whoever the person is that happened. I don't know these people. First, I don't know how you know all these people. She was like, so how do you feel? Like, are you upset towards these people? Like, what do you think about the fact that these people wrote it? And he was just basically like, I don't have ill feelings towards these people for doing that. He was like, people that do these things, like they are so good at manipulating people and making them believe a certain version of themselves. And it's okay that other people know a different version of them. Like that's their experience. My experience and other people's is different. And I can't be upset with them because they didn't have the same thing happen. Like, yes, there's a right and wrong, but like, if you never had it happen to you and you all, that's your friend or that's like whatever, you've had great experiences with somebody, like it's one person's word against the other and your personal experiences. And so he's like, so I was like, okay, that's an actual interesting perspective because, I mean, I've been in a situation kind of similar, I would say. And like, it's easy to be angry and judge people, but then it's also like, but they don't actually know. And it's up to them to like, that's basically them like saying they judge somebody, but they have a completely different experience. You know what I mean? Like,
but it's like, him and Danny Masterson and Ashton Kutcher were best friends. There's no way. Like, it would be like you and I. If you were raping people, I would know about it. And I would no way in hell be like, I'm going to write a character witness for this person. You don't think? He was doing it at, like, parties and stuff that they were at.
Well, what if I was just like, Taylor, like, you're drunk all the fucking time. You don't know what I'd be doing. What if you were, I was just like, I was in the bathroom.
Easter doesn't count, okay?
What if I was just like, oh, I had the shits?
I don't know. It's a very interesting way to think about it. And it's hard to say because I don't know.
I think one of the things that would help you put this into perspective is think how big these houses are. Think how many people are at these parties. Like if someone's gone for a minute or whatever, like sure, you might see them doing something like drugs or whatever, but if they're doing stuff like this, these houses are massive. There's people everywhere. It's never just like my house when there's five of us, you know, like if someone's gone, you notice that someone's gone. So I think things like that, it'd be really easy to say based off of your normal experiences, but like, you've never actually been to like these huge parties. And I imagine you don't even see everyone that's actually there.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. It will be interesting to see like what comes out. But the problem is so much stuff is like secret right now. And I think it's because there's like a trial. I think that more stuff will start to come out. I don't know. It's really hard to find correct information. Yeah. And everything's just kind of the same. But when I saw the Ashton Kutcher thing, I was like, ooh.
Well, what I noticed is like, I got on TikTok after our episode and like I couldn't find hardly anything. Like, things have definitely been quieted. Been
deleted.
Like, someone's making it so this shit's not getting out there, which is like what always happens, which irritates me. But like, I don't know. I just hope to like hear. I hate when things like blow up like this and then it goes like ghost.
Silent. Yeah. I want to hear your perspective on this because it's been something that I've like struggled in my mind with. This Nickelodeon documentary really messed me up, right? Drake Bell, I feel so terrible for him, but he was also caught messaging minors and like trying to hook up with minors.
You need to listen to this podcast. He talks
about it. Does he talk about it? Because like how bad I feel for him, but then I'm like, he did the same thing.
Okay, he didn't actually. This girl was a liar.
Oh, really?
He ended up pleading guilty because he ran out of money and he needed it to like go away. But he has all the evidence and like it was proven.
Oh, I didn't know that.
All the things that she alleged, he didn't actually do. I can't remember the specifics now that I like am speaking about it, but it was basically like, because not skinny, but not fat. She's like crying really hard because he was like very vague about it. And so she's like, so what you're saying is you ended up like pleading guilty to a situation, but the actual facts. And he was like, oh yeah, it's come out that like everything, like the evidence and everything. And like the New York Times had to recant like their article about it and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
They had like said all this stuff. And then the evidence came out afterwards that it was all completely false. And that didn't actually happen. Like how it went down that she was like doing all these things. He lost his like marriage and all sorts of stuff because of it.
Okay, it's a really listen then. I didn't even know he was on it, but I'll have to listen because I was like, oh, I feel so bad for this guy. But yeah, he turned around and did the exact same thing. But yeah, that would make sense if it wasn't accurate. So I'll have to listen to it.
And apparently he had like a huge addiction issue. I don't even know this guy. I never watched Drake and Josh. The show. No, but I've heard of him, you know, like I just didn't know. And like when I listened to the interview, I thought it didn't happen to him. He was going to be talking about like who it happened to. No, it turns out he's like the person in the documentary.
Yeah, me and my sisters watched Drake and Josh. We have episodes fully memorized. Like we were obsessed with that show. And same with the Amanda show. That was my favorite show growing up. So I think that's why like the Nickelodeon thing has really messed with me because it's like literally my childhood.
She asked about like Amanda and like his thoughts on her and if she's reached out and like what he thinks of like everything and if it was happening to her, and he sideswipes that. He's like not touching it with a 10-foot pole. Like, but it's a really good episode. You should listen to it. It was very like a slower interview because I think she was trying to be very like careful with him, but I don't know. It gave me really interesting perspective and I keep still wanting to watch the thing, but I keep forgetting. I'm sure it'll be really triggering for me, but like, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. I think it will be, but it is, I think everyone should watch it. So,
the last thing I have to say before we talk about our topic, it's so stupid. Today I was on Instagram and Hillary Duff is pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm so obsessed with her. She's the most beautiful person on this planet.
Yeah.
And she posted her like baby playlist, like to push her baby out, like for when she's at the hospital on Spotify. And I was like, I'm going to follow it. I'm going to put it on my Spotify. And I listened to it before we recorded. It's actually a really dope playlist. And I feel like everyone needs to go to Spotify and get her playlist because it's really great.
What's it called?
It's like 4 hours. Let me look at it.
If Hillary Duff told me to eat poop and I would look like her, I would do whatever she told me to. I'm obsessed with her.
So if you just search Hillary B 87, she only has one L in her name.
Hillary D.
Hillary B. Like a bumblebee. Okay. And it's Hillary's birth playlist.
And Hillary B 87.
It's really good.
Is it there's two L's?
One L.
Hillary B.
87.
And it's under profiles?
I just clicked on the person. I don't know. You know what I mean? Spotify. I don't understand that. I just searched that and it says Hillary Duff and has a picture of her.
Oh.
And then I clicked on Hillary's birth playlist and downloaded or saved it to my thing. I think that's what I did. I think you just add a playlist, right? I can send it to you.
Yeah, just send it to me because I cannot find it. And then if anyone else wants it, let us know.
To answer the final question, pinworm infection, the most common symptom of an infection is anal itching, particularly at night as worms migrate to the host's anal area to lay their eggs. So again, I don't have an itchy asshole at all.
That's so funny.
I had a friend that had an itchy asshole and she was freaking out about it. I bet she had a pinworm. Like, it was so bad that she was like constantly having, oh my God, I have got to text her.
She was constantly having to itch it.
She was trying to tell her boyfriend, like, dude, I don't know what it is. My asshole is so fucking itchy, like so itchy. And like, she could not figure it out. And she was like always like having to move to try and itch her asshole. She had fucking pinworm.
Oh my gosh. That's terrifying.
I just remembered her talking about this at work and being like, because she was like, do you guys ever get like an itchy asshole? Hashtag asking for a friend. And I was like, I mean, I don't think so. And then she told us.
Oh, that's funny.
So yeah, I don't know why I'm taking pinworm medicine, but we'll see. Maybe Wally has an itchy a-hole. Also, the more I've said it, the more I remembered how much I hate the word asshole. Or like butthole. Butthole is so gross to me.
Tony and I call it just a b-hole.
I was just actually talking to my sister and my niece about this and the other day, and I was like, I don't see your chocolate starfish. And she was like, oh my God, you're sick.
Do you know it's a spiritual practice to tan your b-hole? I will not do it, but there are people in like the yoga community who swear by tanning their b-hole, and they'll go outside every morning and do a happy baby pose so that their butthole is up towards the sky for the sun to hit it.
Maybe they're killing pinworms with the sun rays.
Maybe.
That's sick. Ugh. On that note, everybody, we have a great topic for you today, and it is not about your booty hole. We are talking about I can't even take myself seriously now. Okay, we are talking about meeting yourself where you are at, meeting you in the middle, the Maren Morris song. I wanted to talk about this because this morning I was going to go on a rant on my Facebook, not a rant. I was just going to like do a video about like something, like a thought I had. And then Facebook? I was like, did I say Facebook?
Yeah.
My Instagram. I don't even use Facebook. On my Instagram story. And then I was like, wait, this would actually be a topic. I should see if Taylor wants to record about it. And that is why we're talking about it today. I think sometimes I forget about this talk, like that this is like a thing that people say, like meet yourself where you're at. Like it's actually a pretty common phrase, I think, like maybe more in the therapy world or like growth world. I don't know. I don't know who would give you this advice. I don't think I've ever told Taylor, meet yourself where you're at, girl. But I feel like it's a common phrase, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
I don't know where I hear it, but like, maybe it's just like quotes or something on the internet.
Yeah, I think it can be used for a lot of different situations in life. So I can't like pinpoint a spot that I hear it all the time.
Yeah. So I don't know. This morning it just kind of hit me. Like I was doing a hike, which like, goddamn, hikes are not fun on the treadmill. So boring. But I was doing a hike and it was like a 45-minute one and it actually really sucked. But it also I didn't feel like I was actually working out. Like I was literally attending a meeting because I had a meeting at 5 a.m. and I was listening to the meeting while I was doing the hike. So I wasn't actually listening to the workout, and it got done and my meeting was done. And I was like, okay, well, I actually do have time. Like I should do something else. Like I should lift some weights, or maybe I should do core, or like, was that enough? And I was just like sitting there for like a split second. And I think in the past, that conversation in my head would have been a lot longer. It would have been like me probably being more like aggressively rude to myself about it and then forcing myself to like do it. And then I would like had this thought. I was like, dude, you just did a 45-minute hike. Like that's actually pretty legit. Like you don't actually have to do anything else. And it was because I hadn't worked out 2 days before, because you can't work out once you get laser hair removal for 48 hours. You can't sweat or something. And so I was like, well, you didn't work out for 2 days. And like, you ate a fucking brownie yesterday. Like, I started going down that thing. And then I was like, actually, bitch, you just did 45 minutes. Like, that's legit. Like, you're done now. You don't even have to do anything. And I was like beating myself up because I had worked out so well the week before. Like, I'd been doing my strength classes. I'd been like totally crushing it. And then this week has been like completely like basically nothing. And that's when I kind of had that thought of like, wow, I need to just meet myself where I'm at right now and accept like your schedule is different this week and you're eating different because you're about to get your period. Like, it kind of just put me in that moment of, this is a conversation I feel like we should share with people.
So that's I totally agree. This is actually something that I teach in yoga a lot, because I think that there's a really good balance that you can have of meeting yourself where you're at, while also at the same time still trying to improve. I'm saying that in quotes if you're not watching on YouTube. But when I like start my yoga classes, and this can be used with any aspect in life, not just in yoga, but when I start my yoga classes, I always have you like check in with where you're at and accept yourself wherever you're at. If you are angry today, if you are feeling sad, if you're feeling happy, if you're feeling just kind of blah, like accept whatever that is and wherever your body is, because you learn in yoga, like, some days your balance sucks. Some days you can do crow pose and a headstand and have it be so cool and amazing. And other days you can barely even lift one foot off of the mat without falling over. Like, that's just how your body runs sometimes. And so just meeting yourself wherever you're at for that day. And I think that that's a really good practice to bring into your life every day, to check in, meet yourself where you're at, and in ways that you feel like you can improve for that day, then improve it. If we're going to stay with the yoga metaphor, like, meet yourself where you're at. Maybe you can't do tree pose on one foot tonight, but maybe you can do like the splits that night. Like, excel in places that you can for that day, and then let other places just be where they're at for that day and have that be enough for you. So it's something that I actually teach in every single yoga class. So I'm happy that you wanted to talk about it, because I do think it is something that I see, being a teacher, I see people really struggling with understanding and putting it into a practice.
And I think that that's one of the things that, like, it's probably really helpful when you're in a class and the teacher is like, hey, bitch, like, let's talk about where you're at right now. But when you're in your regular life and it's just you by yourself, like, I'm sure you go through it too, where you start doing what you're telling these people not to do. And then you're like, I think because of like the self-development and things that we've done and the habits that we've built, it's a lot easier for us to like catch it and realize it. And like, we're working, I don't know, you actually haven't updated us much on like where you're at with, like, you were struggling a lot with like talking yourself really negatively, but I feel like that's maybe gone away. I don't know.
It's been getting better. Yeah.
I feel like when you're in a space where you're like, you've learned to not have those conversations with yourself too, it's a lot easier to catch it. Like I said to me this morning, I was like, wait, we don't talk like that anymore. And like, actually, this is how your week's been, you know, like, but I think it's a lot easier when you're in a class or you have these habits and stuff. It's really, really hard in everyday life, I think, when you're by yourself, to not get caught up in that cycle. Like, the cycle is, it's like a really abusive cycle, honestly. Like, you go through these, I should be doing this, I could have been doing this, I need to be better, I can do better. Like, why am I not doing this? Why did I eat that? Like, just so many things that you like say to yourself, because you're like, you don't have that like snap moment where you're like, okay, wait, let's meet myself where I'm at. You know, like, you almost have to like check yourself a little bit, and it's really, really hard to do it. And I think, I don't know. I don't know how you build that practice, to be honest. I think that's probably like, it comes with time, or it comes when you show up to a class. Like, that the fact that they even show up, you know, is enough. But like, in their minds, they're still beating themselves up of like not being good enough, you know? So I don't really know how you get to that point. Maybe you have more insight on like how you get to a point of being able to recognize it. I know how to like talk about what to do and like what it means and how to like help yourself while you're in it. But like, I don't really actually know how I got here.
I think I'm actually doing this right now. So I've been really good about working out because I have a long way to go before this 10K that we're doing in like 100 and something days. And so I've been like consistently working out, walking, all the things every day. So I went on a walk or a hike yesterday with one of my friends that's doing the race with us. And it was like straight uphill. Like my legs, my calves, and my butt hurt so bad today that I can barely stand up out of a chair. And it was like, I recognized it last night because I like laid on the couch and I was like, holy shit, like I am so incredibly sore. And then this morning I like went to get out of bed and it was just everything hurt on like my lower body. And I was like, I have to take a rest day today. Like I need to not do anything. And I usually on Thursdays, I usually work out at lunch. And I didn't work out today at lunch. And I was like beating myself up during lunch. And I was like, just go outside and stand in the sun for a few minutes. And then like, you don't need to do a workout. You need to take a rest day. And then even like right now, I'm like, oh, I really need to get a workout done today. But like, I know my body is telling me right now, like, bitch, we need to like rest. We need to let these muscles rest. It's okay to like take a rest day. So I think I'm very good with mindfulness. So I can pick up on these cues a lot easier, I think, but it still is like a constant battle in my head of like, I need to do this. And then every time I explain something like this to my therapist, I always explain like I have an angel and a devil. Like I literally think of that like one side's like, do it. And the other side's like, don't do it. So it's just really like, I know what my body's telling me and I'm going to do it. I'm not going to work out today, but it is a struggle that I've been going through all day of like, I could do one little thing. I could do yoga. I could do this, but I'm not going to do anything, but it is hard. So I don't have a ton of insight, but just like sticking to what you know is right.
I think that's one of the things that's sad to me about this like cycle and this thing that it is that we go through. And I don't know if this is just women, but I think what's sad to me is like the brain space that conversation, because I know exactly what you're going through, that brain space takes up so much like capacity of you having that conversation, like the constant back and forth. And it makes like the time go by and like time is, you're like, fuck, now I'm running out of time. And it's like, you're not even being mm-hmm. present anymore at that point mm-hmm. because you're constantly having this dialogue in your brain of like, should I or shouldn't I? Should I or shouldn't I? Should I or shouldn't I? And like, it really fucking sucks. Like it's not a fun thing. I think it's hard. I feel bad because I don't know like our listeners and how many of them are like fitness people, or like do that type of stuff. I feel like we do analogies like that all the time. So hopefully you can like take what we say and like use it. However, like a big example for me sometimes is when I'm behind because like life has been busy and we have like no groceries and I keep being like, oh, today I'm going to get groceries. Today I'm going to get groceries. And then I see like my kids eating like fucking trash and I'm like, God, like, why didn't you just get groceries today? How did you not make that happen? You know, like those types of conversations. And I think that's when I sometimes like have to be like, I didn't fucking have the time. But kind of like what you were saying with yoga, the biggest thing for me is like when you're noticing yourself in this dialogue or this spiral or whatever it is that you're beating yourself up over, evaluating yourself, like where you are. So like what I wrote down is like, you need to stop and like literally think of like, what is going on in your life? What's your week been like? How are you feeling today? Are you about to get your period? Like, so did you sleep well? Did your schedule completely change? Like, what is actually happening in your present life? Because I think sometimes like we think about so many like past or present things and then the future and we're never like fully like, okay, what's literally happening this week or what happened that like got me to this point? Like we never really stop and think about those things when we're in that dialogue. And so I think that that's like the self-awareness and the like evaluation that you can do to just kind of be like, and when we went to the Rachel Hollis, what was that conference called?
Rise.
Yeah. When we went to the Rise conference, Rachel had like this thing where she like, I don't remember if it was like you clapped your hands and I don't want to do it because it might be really loud on the microphone, but like you clapped your hands and you were like, new mood,
new me. Like,
oh, new mood or so. I don't know. It was like a whole thing where it's like when you catch yourself in this thing, you do a practice that kind of like, it's like a clap or a snap that you're kind of like, okay. And now that's not my mood anymore. That my energy, I'm changing my energy. Like a thing that like, it has to be a sound though, like a clap or snap. You could scream, that'd be weird, but like you could, but like do something like that where if you notice yourself in that spiral, be like, okay, what is that thing? New mood, new me, new mood.
Same me, new mood. Oh shit, I cannot remember.
I don't know. It's like a thing, but like do something like that where if you catch yourself in this, like have this moment. Cause for me, I think that really helped me around the time when we were like still early in our self-development. Like we would do that to each other sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like we would joke about it. We'd be bitching. We'd be like, clap, do the thing. We still never could really get the phrase though, now that I think about it.
Yeah, it's true.
But like today when I was in that spiral, like I had like, I already had like a snap go off in my brain, you know, like I naturally did that. If you don't have that yet, I think that could be something that'd be really helpful for you. Like where you're just like, okay, enough with this dialogue. We're moving on. Let's sit and talk about like where we're at right now.
I think because I say this because I've had a lot of people tell me this, that they never, like after class, they'll be like, I never before have just checked in with where I'm at. Like I get so busy and I don't take a second. So I think before you can even recognize that the dialogue is there, you need to get used to stopping and just doing a quick check-in. It doesn't need to be something huge. It doesn't need to be a 10-minute meditation like I start my yoga classes with. It can literally be like, as you're heating up your lunch at work, don't be on your phone. Don't be like taking a phone call. Don't be doing something for work. Just have it be like looking into the microwave as your food's warming up or as you're like prepping your food and be like, how am I feeling right now? Where's my mind at? Like, because you'll miss those dialogue cues and you won't be able to like snap yourself out of it if you don't even know that it's happening in the first place. So I think that's a really important place to start, is find a time throughout the day that you take even 15 seconds and just be like, what's going on right now?
Yeah. And like, don't distract yourself. Like what Taylor was saying, like, don't find a way to distract yourself if something is getting you to that point. Like I notice sometimes when Wally and I are arguing, I go and I start cleaning the house while we're arguing. And it's because I need to release something, but I know I can't release it on him. And so that's a bit of a distraction, but I think it's actually a healthy distraction because, and it's not healthy necessarily because that's not how we should have the conversation. Like that's actually ignorant of me. But I've talked to him about it. Like, if you notice me go and start cleaning, it's not because I don't want to have the conversation. It's that I need to be doing something with my hands. Otherwise I'm going to say stuff that I don't want to say to you. And I need to be like clear-headed in the conversation. And it helps me listen to you more than wanting to just immediately jump down your throat and tell you that you're actually fucking wrong. Cause usually you are, but like think like trying to find ways to distract yourself is like the biggest thing that people will do. Like sometimes in a meeting, I'll be super fucking heated or something dumb will happen. And I could immediately jump back into work and like stew over all day. And I'll just like drop my pen and I'll just be like, I don't have anything to do. I'm going to go fill up my water. I'm going to go pee. I don't even know, but I'm not going to sit at my computer. So I think if you can do anything like that, and if you're going to do like the cleanup while you're in an argument type thing, like at least communicate to them like you're not doing it to be an asshole. Maybe you are, but like, I don't know. I'm not a therapist.
a thing that I love that I actually use in my life a lot is Adrian from Peloton. He always says like after we lift really heavy or after we do a lot of reps of something, he'll be like, drop your weights, take an emotional lap around your mat. And I do that a ton when I'm working out. I do it if like Tony and I are in an argument. I do it if I'm frustrated about something. I'll just do like a quick walk, like to my door in my office and then sit back down, or I'll walk like around my counter. Like taking an emotional lap is so beneficial. I cannot even explain it because it gives your brain that second to just like process, because your brain can actually process pretty quick, but you have to allow it that time of not focusing on something else to process what needs to be processed.
Yeah, I actually really love, I don't do the emotional lap like a lot in my regular life, but when I'm lifting weights, because I actually, which is surprising, I'm sure because you guys hear me talk about fitness all the time, but I fucking hate lifting weights. I hate strength training. Like it's the last thing I'll do. I could run my ass off and then be like, nope, we don't need strength training. So I've been forcing myself to do it this year. And like the emotional lap actually saves me and keeps me going. Like, I mean, naturally, like when you work out, like you'll be doing something, if you have 10 seconds or whatever in between stuff, you'll like kind of just like stand there, or you'll like look at the like what you're supposed to do, or you're just kind of do whatever. I've always been someone that like walks away from my thing. I didn't realize I was doing it until he kept talking about the emotional lap, and I was like, holy shit, like I already kind of do this to give myself the pump up that I need to be like, you just did that. Mm-hmm. And it's weird to me now that he's connected that for me. Like, I walk away and I come back with like, fuck yeah, I can do this again. And it's really, mm-hmm. really weird because I never connected those, but it gave me that like mental space to be like, damn, that was really hard. You're allowed to be like, that fucking sucked. And now I'm going to do it again. Like, it's mm-hmm. really, really interesting to me.
Yeah, I love the emotional lap. I really do.
Which is also funny with the next thing I had to mention, because it literally is about emotion. But the other thing I wanted to mention is like, one thing that's really helpful is if you take the emotion out. So you, when you're in this situation, take the emotions out of the situation, take all of those feelings that you have and like the frustrations and the way that you're beating yourself up. Cause there's going to be so many times where you have less or you can give more, like you're never going to have it all the time. Like, you need to be honest with the actual facts of the situation. That's what I was talking about with like evaluating, like, what's your schedule been like? Have you been traveling? Like, so many different things, because if you can take the emotion out of it and look at it for what the facts are, you'll be like, well, of course, like, of course I don't have the ability to do this right now. I have no time, like whatever. But so like, take the emotional lap maybe, but then also be like, all right, while I'm on my emotional lap, there's no emotions. What are the fucking facts of this situation?
I'm going to challenge that. And I think that this is a different, this is a different personality trait for sure. I say, identify what your emotion is, because if I take the emotion out of something, that causes me more chaos in my brain of like, I don't know. That's where anxiety for me starts to fester, if I'm not identifying how I'm feeling. So I could never take emotion out of it and be like, facts are facts. Like, no, I need to know, like, if I'm feeling frustrated, if I'm feeling sad, if I'm feeling happy, like I need to identify what the underlying emotion is before I can look at the picture.
This just reminded me of something the witch said to me about you.
Oh, no.
When we were talking about your sessions, she was talking, because I was like joking about like how emotions, because she was like, I'm gonna do this about like your emotions, blah blah blah. And like, we've talked about it, like I've mentioned it, like I laugh about it all the time of like, mm-hmm. yeah, like I already know I don't deal with emotions, like that's the last thing I want to deal with here, but I know I need to, kind of thing. Like, that's like mm-hmm. our joke that we have. And I had said something about it, and I was like, it was when we were talking about like the differences between me and you, and she was like, oh yeah, like when Taylor, like the amount of emotions coming out of this girl. And I was like, dude, she has so many emotions. Like, and then it like reminded me, like, you're like, emotions is like who you are. Like,
yeah,
which is so opposite of me. Like, it's not that I don't have them, but it's also, mm-hmm. I don't run off of them. I run off of facts. I run off of like the literal. So for mm-hmm. me, when I'm in this state, it's like, I need to put it into the facts, because if I deal with my emotions, then that's when my inner critic gets really, really terrible to myself. And that's when I'm like, you're a fucking worthless piece of shit. Like, emotions to me don't give you an excuse to not do the thing you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Figuring out what my emotions are and what I'm feeling in me, my body, is what grounds me to help deal with whatever the situation is. Like, let's say ending a friendship, like I have to identify what my emotions are, which by the time I get to the point of ending the friendship, I'm at full blown anger. And so understanding that that's where I'm at, so I can say what I need to say and identify that to the other person. Like, I have to know how I'm feeling first, or else it'll feel like a full on chaos mess if I don't identify my feelings.
This is like so off topic, but on topic. This just reminded me of the training I went to in Vienna for like our leadership training. There was this tool, we call them tools for our toolbox, that we learned about. And it was like these like stairs going down kind of thing. And there was like, it was like a graphic showing you like about work conflicts or something, like with an employer when an employee is like at a point. And we were talking about people that can start here. And if someone in your life doesn't check you, or you as a manager doesn't step in when you need to, and you keep letting it happen, the person at the top of the stairs gets all the way down here to the very part of anger where there's just literally no turning back. And you saying that now just reminded me, like, holy shit, that's literally you. And like, someone needs to be telling you, like, bitch, you got to like stop. Otherwise you're going to end up there. And then that's why this happened.
It's true. I'm a very, I work very much off of emotion, where you're the complete opposite, that you don't work off of emotion.
It's interesting though, because you can ignore your emotions and get yourself to a point of just like, done. And I'm like the whole way through, like facts, 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 facts. Okay, you suck. You know, like yours, like you skip over a bunch of them. And I'm really now my brain is really curious about this process for you.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
I would say if you're not like Taylor, where you go from like one extreme to the other with those, I would say like it's similar to what I was saying, like with me for the facts, like I need to take the emotion out and identify what the actual facts are. If you have the ability to like regulate your emotions and you can have that conversation, so then just deal with the emotion and start talking about like how you're feeling about that situation, because that to you would be the facts. So I think with what I said, just flip it if it's facts or emotion and deal with it that way. But for me, like, if I can identify the actual situations going on in my life and the facts of what's going on, then I have the ability to not be an asshole to myself. And I can like walk myself through dealing with it. And I think it'd probably be the same if you dealt with it in emotions rather than facts.
Yeah. And just a little side note, this conversation right here shows why it's so important to get to know yourself, because I think that that's part of the reason why people feel so messed up in their head, is because a lot of people don't take the time to either go through therapy, see weird witch doctors, or just take the time to sit with themselves and get to know their personality through their Enneagram or through whatever. And you'll never be able to identify these things about you. So it's just important to like sit with yourself and know yourself.
Well, and I think with that too, like if you don't do that, you could hear me saying what I just said about taking the emotion out and be like, oh, Shelby said this, it's fucking Bible. But really you're an emotion person like Taylor, you know, like, so you would hear what I say, or you see people processing something some way, or telling you, you read a quote about something and it's telling you like how to deal with a situation. And it could be completely wrong for you. It could be the exact opposite of what you need. And then you're just going down this path of like, not actually doing what your body and your mind and your soul really need. You're just doing something because you saw it on the internet, or you listened to a podcast and they told you that.
Yeah.
Because you don't know yourself.
And that's a great that's a great thing, because let's use my therapy journey as an example. My old therapist was a lot, she thought a lot like Shelby of like, these are the facts. Why are you not getting that? And my new therapist is like, let's sit down and talk about this, or do EMDR and figure out how you're really feeling. And why am I making so much progress with him than I was before? Because she wasn't like, she wasn't teaching me the things in the way that I actually operate. So if you are in therapy and your therapy is not working for you, that could be a big reason why, is because you're not taking the time to get to know yourself.
I would dare say she wasn't meeting you where you're at.
She was not meeting me at all. Hence why I changed.
But for real though, I think that with all of this, like meeting yourself where you're at, it really does require like knowing who you are, being able to have like a self-assessment and not be an asshole to yourself about it. And it requires that compassion. Like you, if you're going to go through this and you're going to like meet yourself where you're at and go through these steps, you need to have compassion. You need to have self-love. You need to do self-care to actually like deal with the fact that you're in this type of space. And then on top of that, you need to like ask for help or share with somebody like, this is where I'm at and this is like what I'm dealing with, or can you help me with this, or I don't have the capacity. Like you, this is when communication comes into play. And then you also have to sometimes kick yourself in the ass, because maybe you've been in this state for too long, and that can happen. Like I've for sure have done that before, and I was starting to get to that point with my whole work situation where I was just like, fuck life, like I have no purpose, work, all these things. And I finally had to be like, all right, you've bitched about it long enough. And now it's time to just accept it for what it is, embrace it, and life goes on, you know, like, but I had to like have that, like, I literally was saying these words in my head to myself. And like, you have to be able to kick yourself in the ass and be like, okay, bitch, you sat on the couch long enough. Okay. You ate enough brownies. Okay. No more chips. Like, you had some, that's great. But like, mm-hmm. now, you know, about, you know, like whatever it is that you're doing, you have to be able to be like, all right, enough is enough.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree with that. And I think honestly, it just comes with practice. Like, mm-hmm. you're not going to be perfect the first time. I'm still not perfect. And how long have Shelby and I been on our self-development journey? A long ass time. And I still struggle with this. Like, it just, it takes a lot of practice and a lot of dedication.
Yeah. And like, it really does require you to have self-love to not like, and this is hard for me as an Enneagram one, like the things that people think I'm rude to them about where I'm like direct with them. Like, if they heard the shit I said to myself, they would be like, their heart would probably crumble, but mm-hmm. my heart doesn't crumble because the emotions aren't there, you know? But like, you really do have to be like, okay, this is okay. And mm-hmm. what do we want to do? Or what do you need to help yourself with this situation? And I think that's one of the things that's been hard for me is to like stop and be like, what do I actually need to help myself right now? Like, does it mean I'm not working out? Does it mean I want ice cream today? Does it mean that we're eating out? Like, it could mean so many things, but I have to like make that conscious decision. Otherwise I can make an impulse decision and then go through the same spiral of like, bitch, why the hell did you eat out? Like, you know, that's not helping you with your goals. Something that's been helping me actually a lot lately is like keeping in the back of my mind, like saying like before, like, I know I want something. I have the devil and the angel conversation going on. And then I'm like, does this align with the goals that you like want for your life this year? Does this align with like your vision board? Mm-hmm. Does this align with like what you're like trying to achieve right now? And then I like have that stop and that pause and I'm like, all right, we need to go do this. Or, all right, I can have ice cream a different day, you know, like something mm-hmm. like that. But it's been really helpful for me to be like, is this aligning with what you wanted this year? Like, you wanted a lot of things this year. Does this work for you? So I don't know. It's hard to have that conversation, but maybe someone can do that too.
It is hard. And I think that's the most important thing to like really like point out is this. I feel like any of our serious topics, like the shit is not easy at all. No. And I feel like it's really easy to look at people on social media or listen to either our podcast or different podcasts and be like, oh, they don't understand how hard my life is. Like, bitch, I've had a giant hole in my leg for a solid year and 2 weeks. And I know how hard life is, but that doesn't mean you just get to give up. It means that some days and some hours you have to rearrange things or you have to do things a little bit differently. But it's just really easy to look at other people and be like, wow, they really have it all figured out. Like, no, nobody really has it all figured out. And this is not easy. It just yeah. takes commitment.
Well, and it's like, unless you're like literally someone's best friend, you don't know the ins and outs. You don't know mm-hmm. everything that's going on. You see the highlight reel. Like, it really is honest and open as I am on social media. You guys don't see it all. You don't realize that I'm stressed about all these things or that I worry about things or that I don't know. I don't even know right now, but like there's things I deal with, you know, like I literally got demoted at work, you know, like there's so
many literally things. Has an itchy asshole.
Yeah. I have pinworms, but like it's, everyone has their shit. I have deep rooted family trauma. I'm literally a solo gal minus the fact that I have Taylor and now my sister that just moved back, you know, like I don't have all these like support and resources. And I think it's just important that people really analyze what they have and not compare yourself to other people. But like, if you need to just not do anything this weekend, like Taylor and Tony did and like Netflix and chill, do that. There's so many times where like, I don't realize I need it, but then our weekend has like a night that's free and I get a glass of wine and I go and watch Netflix in my bed by myself. And it literally is like one of the best things I could do for myself, but I didn't realize I needed it. And so take advantage of the space that you get, take advantage of the opportunities. Don't feel like you have to fill your time, which like I'm super guilty of that. Like take what you need when you need it and kick your own ass when you need it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Totally agree with that.
The last thing I have is just like a list, because we all know I love one, of things to consider when you're in this state that might help you more easily assess or be like, oh, okay, this is happening to me. So things to consider. Are you about to get your period? Are you sick? Is someone in your family sick? Have your kids been sick? Are your kids acting up? Like, is your toddler turning three and you just remembered that terrible 2/3s really fucking suck? You know, like, think about the sicknesses or the personalities going on in your life. And also, are you getting sick? Because sometimes people really don't realize they're getting sick, and they are, because you're so maxed out.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been traveling? Do you have a trip coming up that you're stressing about or preparing for? Are there big life moments going on? Like, my other sister, her daughter is graduating, and I can tell that like the impact of her daughter graduating is weighing on her. It's making it so she's not as much as herself as she normally would be. Triggers. Have you been triggered lately? Is there something like that keeps re-triggering you? Is your past coming up and haunting you? Do you have a bunch of changes or challenges going on in your daily life? Do you have worry or fear? And have you had a lot of schedule changes, or your schedule got busier or adjusted from like what your normal schedule would be? And then also stress. So when I talk about like the schedule change, like a good example I could give is like, normally for me, like my mornings are like my prime time. Like, I wake up, I do my thing, I have my time, I get ready, I take Henley to school, whatever. Occasionally I've had meetings. This week, I had 3 different days where I had meetings from 5 to 7 a.m. And I kept being like, why am I not, like, I blamed it on like my laser, or I blamed it on this, or today I showed up to that hike. And I was like, well, now you have time, you finished that meeting. And then I was like, it's okay. Like, it's okay that your schedule is weird. Like, you literally lost your entire morning that you have had consistently for a week, however long. Like, it doesn't matter how long it's been consistent for you. It's your normal routine. And the second that changes, your whole world is like, what the hell? And then you start to get really frazzled. So mm-hmm. I think things like that are helpful for you to put into perspective if you find yourself in this space. And then I would just say, meet yourself where you're at.
And I would like to add one thing to that of, have I done anything for myself lately? Because if you haven't done anything for yourself lately, I know for me, I don't know if it's the same for you. If I don't do something for myself, something just small, not every day, but every now and then, like whether it's a facial or a pedicure or something just like nice that makes me feel really good, I feel very sad.
I would need to think about this a little bit for myself. That's not normally like my thing, but also when I got my emotions read, I had 2 marks next to selfish, and I feel like she was trying to tell me I'm selfish, but maybe what she did also tell me is like, some of my marks aren't just about me. They're about like other people and like that me thinking they're selfish or something like that. But I've been really thinking about this, like, do I do too much for myself? Or do I only care about myself? So
no, I don't
feel like I have the conversation of like, have I done anything for myself lately? But I do sometimes, like when it's gotten really extreme, be like, damn, I haven't taken much self-care, because I also still don't know what self-care fully is for me.
Mm-hmm.
My therapist assigned it to me a long time ago, but I never fully identified it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that that's a big thing. I also have a student that comes to my class every week, and he swears by it, and he only comes once a week. And that is like his time to get away from his kids, to get away from his wife, and to just be like by himself. Well, by himself in a class, but and he's like, if I miss this, like I feel like my whole body is like out of whack. So I think like whatever your thing looks like, for me, it's facials. I absolutely love facials. And yeah, I have to get a facial like once every other month, because they make me so incredibly happy. So whatever your thing is, I think you should just find something that makes you feel very happy and then do that for yourself. And when you feel out of control, come back to that small little thing and just have it be yours.
I think that my mornings, my workout mornings, are a huge thing that's mine. And like, it actually really shouldn't have to be that extreme. Like, I shouldn't have to wake up at 4 a.m. to have that, but I actually really enjoy most of the time. Mm-hmm. I think my Starbucks would be a thing for me.
I think, like, for you, it's your ice rolling that you do every morning.
I haven't been doing that lately.
Oh, really?
I got out of the routine. I don't mm-hmm. remember why. Maybe it's been all these mornings that I've had meetings lately, but I haven't been able to, like, I'm having to do my journaling at different times and I haven't had, like, the time to just, like, go sit. Maybe I've also been sleeping in. I don't know. I can't keep, I think I was in a bad spot. I think that's what got me out of it. I was in a bad place.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, do you have anything else?
No, but we forgot to do a hashtag asking for a friend, but I think it's fine because I think our episode just went over an hour. Long.
Yeah.
So sorry, not sorry, but I don't know. Hopefully this helps you guys. It was like a really eye-opening thing for me this morning to have that conversation of like, oh wow, this mm-hmm. is a conversation I think more people should have. Hopefully you can apply something. I know it's easier said than done.
Yeah. I love this topic because I literally see it every single day that I teach yoga, and seeing it through other people really made me see it in myself as well. So I think it's very important to talk about because I know people are struggling with this.
I mean, I think it's something people deal with literally every single day. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of like what you do for yourself to get yourself to a mental space that you can, like, therapy, self-development, whatever type of growth work you're doing. If you don't do that growth work, you will not be able to, you'll be in this constant cycle that we're talking about where you're just making yourself feel like shit.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening. If this episode resonated with you, please share it with a friend. Please continue to like, rate, and review, and have anybody who's listening do the same. We will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.